Please open your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 8 through 13. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 8 through 13. Likewise must the deacons be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy of filthy lucre, holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. And let there also first be proved, then let them use the office of a deacon, being found blameless. Even so, their wives be grave, not slanders, sober, faithful in all things. Let the deacons be the husband of one wife, ruling their children and their houses well. For they that have used the office of a deacon well purchased to themselves a good degree, the great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus.
Certainly good to see you here this morning. The weather has changed radically again, not for the better. But perhaps by the middle of March, our 6 weeks will be up and we'll get a break in this extraordinary cold. I was watching the Weather Channel a few minutes this morning, either before or after Mac, I don't remember which it was. It showed them moving snow in some parts of our country with a bulldozer. And I thought, well, there's always something to be thankful for, even with the weather. This morning we are going to continue our study of the subject of deacons. It was announced last Lord's Day morning by one of our elders that the church will be soon in the process of selecting more men to serve this congregation as deacons. As a result of that decision, they have asked me to preach upon this subject, which I'm very happy to do. As a matter of fact, I'm always happy if the elders or someone comes around and says, "Will you preach a sermon or sermons on this subject or that subject or this passage or some other passage?" Because then I know for sure, you see, that I'm preaching something in which someone is interested. In a study of deacons, like the study of anything else, we attempt to make our interpretation of Scripture as scriptural, or as near to the Scripture as is humanly possible. It is important that we interpret the Scripture, that we accept what it says, rather than thrust upon it something that we think it says. And when Paul wrote an inspired letter to the church at Philippi, when he first preached the gospel of Christ on the continent of Europe, he wrote these words: "Paul and Timothy, bondservants," we would say slaves today, "of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ who are in Philippi, with the bishops and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." Philippians chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. From the standpoint of Holy Scripture, the word deacon is a highly respected word. It may be one of the tragedies of the modern church that we do not attribute the respect and the honor to the men who serve as deacons in various congregations of God's people that we should. Last time we began a careful study of this important New Testament office or work, and I use these two words interchangeably because in the King James translation of the Bible, the New King James translation of the Bible, they come from the same word, Greek word. So it means office or work. In 1611, when the King James Version was first meant, first made, and in 1781, I think it was, when it was again revised, and then again revised in 1841, the word office meant a work to be done. When we talk about the office of the President of the United States, for example, we're talking about the work of the President of the United States, which seems to be, in the last few weeks, primarily to make Congress miserable, doesn't it? But at any rate, a man's office is his work. I do the office, the work of preacher in this congregation. And so we are going to continue that study even today, and for following Sundays, if God should will. And so for the next few Sunday mornings, it's my hope that you'll give the utmost consideration to the teaching, even make notes, if you please, that I will be doing from the New Testament. Not because I'm doing it, because I'm nothing more than a messenger of God, but because we are studying a Bible subject, and it is one of vital importance to the modern church, and especially or particularly to this church, since, as the elders announced, we're in the process of selecting more men to serve as deacons among us here. It's our desire that when we have finished this study, we'll know as much about this vital subject, that is, deacons, who they are, what they're supposed to be, so on and so forth, as we can glean from the Bible without the intrusions of the ideas of mere men. You would be stunned, I'm sure, if I were to take time in this series of lessons, which I do not intend to do, to just recount all of the strange and peculiar ideas, not only that are put forward in the religious world, but have been and sometimes are being put forward in the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ regarding deacons. You know, brethren, we have as many denominational doctrines in some areas as any denomination around us. We should shed those just as quickly as we can. Our plan of study is this. We have studied that the office or work of deacons existed in the apostolic church, and it exists today. We have studied what the definition of the term deacon is. Primarily, it means a servant, with its various uses in the New Testament, as applying even to the servants of Satan in the world of whom the Apostle Paul speaks. We have discussed what the function of the deacon was and is in the church of the Lord, and that is to serve as special assistants to the elders who guide and lead and shepherd the flock of God. Our plan of study for today is to begin a careful study of God's qualifications for those who serve Him in the church as deacons. This will continue next week because there are 8 qualifications for the deacons found in the New Testament, 4 found for their wives. Finally, we will look at the reward God has promised to those who serve Him well as deacons in His church, and we hope to do this next week as well. The scriptures to which we prominently or primarily turn our minds are Philippians 1, 1 and 2, and the passage that Terry so well read for us this morning, 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 8 through 13. A brief review, deacons in apostolic times and today, is in order. We assert that the work or the office of deacon existed in apostolic times. I don't see how anybody can deny that in light of what the Apostle Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, because he wrote to a church that plainly had them serving that church. He wrote, Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Jesus Christ to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi with the bishops and deacons. Now, if we were in the process of studying what bishops are to do, we would study this word bishop at some length, and we would even go to the point of showing how that about 180 years after the death of, well, more than that, about the year 180 A.D., men began to put a new twist on this word that's not found in the New Testament. They even admitted that it wasn't found in the New Testament. And so, in a congregation that had a plurality of elders, such as we have here at Hillview, one of those men would be selected by the others to serve as what they called presiding elder. And after a while, he just assumed the name bishop. Then after a while, the name bishop was transferred over to the metropolitan, who was a bishop a little higher than all of the other bishops who kind of ruled over all of the elders in a city. And then finally, we would jump over about 500 years of history and point out that he finally became known as the Bishop of Rome, and in 606 A.D. as the Pope. But we're not doing that this morning. We're studying deacons. This church had deacons, as is plainly stated by an inspired apostle of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. No reputable scholar that I have found in or out of the church denies this truth. Some of them say that the church at Philippi had, the letter to the church at Philippi had to be written way down in the middle of the second century, because if it was written in the early AD 60s, as most Bible scholars believe it was, they couldn't possibly have had elders and deacons, because not enough time had gone by. When people argue like this, you know what they forget? They forget the gifts of the Spirit in the apostolic church. And with the gifts of Spirit, they could have had them the next day, had they so desired. And so there were deacons in New Testament terms. Now, what proves that there are to be deacons in today's church? Timothy was given qualifications of a perpetual nature for the work or the office of deacon. You say, well, so what? Well, let's look at it this way. There are no perpetual qualifications for apostles. So they can't exist in the modern church. One of the qualifications of an apostle was that he had to have seen Jesus. None of us have ever done that. And so there is no such thing as an apostle, thank you, Dave, in the modern church. Let's look at the prophets for a moment or two. There are no perpetual qualifications given for being a prophet in the church. Why? Because the gift of prophecy disappeared after those people upon whom the apostles had laid hands had died. There were no more prophets in the early church. Why? Because the New Testament was completed, and according to the study I have done, as early as before the fall of Jerusalem. God's qualifications for deacons, then, are important because they point out that it is a perpetual work or a perpetual office in the church so long as the world shall stand. You talk about strange ideas. I read a little blurb the other day on the internet by one of our preachers, and I use this term, our preacher, broadly, who said that we can't have elders in the modern church, and he would not submit himself to an elder in the modern church.